McKinley Park, Monday, October 11th, 10 o'clock a.m. The morning was warm and sunny, although dark clouds threatened to the north. At McKinley State Park, the Lincoln Middle School was having its annual outing. There were balloons attached to the picnic tables, the barbecue grills were smoking, and about 300 kids and their families were playing on the grassy field beside the waterfall, throwing frisbees and baseballs. More were playing along the banks of the nearby Cavender River, which meandered peacefully through the park. The river was low at the moment, with sandy banks on either side, and small rocky pools where the younger children played. Kenner and the others were parked to one side, watching. "When that river overflows," Kenner said, "it'll take out the entire park and everyone in it." "It's a pretty big park," Evans said. "Will it really overflow that much?" "Doesn't take much. The water will be muddy and fast-moving. 6 inches of fast water is enough to knock a person off his feet. Then they slide. It's slippery. They won't be able to get back up again. There are rocks and debris in the water. Mud blinds them. They hit things, lose consciousness. Most drownings occur because people try to move across very low water." "But 6 inches? Muddy water has power," Kenner said. 6 inches of mud will take a car, no problem. Lose traction, sweep it right off the road. Happens all the time." Evans found this hard to believe, but Kenner was now talking about some famous flood in Colorado, the Big Thompson, where 140 people died in a matter of minutes. "Cars crushed like beer cans," he said. "People with clothes ripped off their bodies by mud. Don't kid yourself." "But here," Evans said, pointing to the park, "if the water starts to rise, there'll be enough time to get out." "Not if it's a flash flood. Nobody here will know until it's too late. That's why we're going to make sure they don't have a flash flood." He checked his watch, looked up at the darkening sky, and then walked back to the cars. They had 3 SUVs in a row. Kenner would drive one, Sunjong would drive one, Peter and Sarah would drive the third. Kenner opened the back door to his car. He said to Peter, "Do you have a gun?"
"No."
"You want one?"
"You think I need one?"
"You might. When was the last time you were on a range?"
It's been a while."
In truth, Evans had never fired a gun in his life, and until this moment, he was proud of it. He shook his head.
"I'm not much of a gun guy."
Kenner had a revolver in his hands. He had opened the round barrel thing and was checking it. Sunjong was over by his own car, checking an evil-looking rifle, matte black stock with a telescopic sight. His manner was quick, practiced. A soldier. Uneasily, Evans thought, "What is this, the OK Corral?"
"We'll be all right," Sarah said to Kenner. "I have a gun."
"You know how to use it?"
"I do."
"What is it?"
"A 9mm Beretta."
Kenner shook his head.
"Can you handle a 38?
"Sure."
He gave her a gun and a holster. She clipped the holster to the waistband of her jeans. She seemed to know what she was doing. Evans said,
"Do you really expect us to shoot somebody?"
"Not unless you have to," Kenner said. "But you may need to defend yourself."
"You think they'll have guns?"
"They might, yes."
"Jesus."
"It's okay," Sarah said. "Personally, I'll be happy to shoot the bastards." Her voice was hard, angry.
"All right, then," Kenner said. "That about does it. Let's mount up."
Evans thought, "Mount up? Jesus, this was the OK Corral."